realms of trial. And so that's what we'll be looking at today. As I said last week, when I did that overview for you, we really found out and discovered that James is a book which exhorts us to live a life of true faith, of deep faith in Christ. And so it's a challenging book which pushes us to examine our personal walk with Jesus and to commit to Him wholeheartedly. And today, I really got quite emotional in the worship because I feel in this sermon today, God has such a heart for this congregation and for the people of this congregational, of this congregation. And particularly for those who are not here, and who are not here frequently. And God really wants to do something big in this congregation. I'm convinced of that. And I'm not ashamed to say that because I know it's true. He wants to bring a revival here. And a revival being a change in heart perspective. In Pentecost, when Pentecost came, at the time of Pentecost, Peter was preaching and people were convicted in their hearts first. It was a heart condition that changed before we saw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the tongues of fire on the heads. And so people often turn that around and get the wrong order, and they think that revival is about these supernatural acts. It's a heart condition that changes, and God wants to change our hearts for Him in this church. And when that happens, we're going to see great things happening in us and through us. And I'm so excited about that. And so I think James, the book of James, is perfect book for us to come to God and say, God, what is this thing about authentic faith? What is this true faith that you want? Because when we dig deep into God, if we are prepared to go deep with God with our faith and trust Him, then we're going to see the working of His hand in our lives. Can I just pray for us now around that? Let's bow heads. Father, may our attitudes through this series really be about honoring you and wanting to come closer to you. Lord, won't you speak to our hearts? Won't you challenge us to be real with you? Challenge us so that we might be consecrated for your holy work and for your glory. Amen. I mentioned last week that the book of James, to give you some context again, the book of James is we can almost call it a primitive epistle, because it's an epistle, it's a book, which was written at the very early stages of the Christian church. It was actually written to Jewish believers. And so because of that, it's tied in with it, is a wisdom theology like Proverbs. And so like we said, it's quite haphazard in its writings, with short bursts of wisdom which come through in it. And it's also strongly based on the Sermon on the Mount. As I mentioned, this was James writing is actually the brother of Jesus. It's such that it's in its primitiveness, it's actually so beautiful. Because it's a no-nonsense book. And we need to be prepared for that no-nonsense book. Some famous theologians like Wesley and even Martin Luther disregarded the book. Martin Luther actually wanted it kicked out of the Wittenberg University because he said it was a quite strawy epistle. What he meant was it's like straw, and the epistle itself doesn't really match up to a faith, the salvation faith based on grace. He's saying it's too works based. And so if you read it without understanding context, we too could fall into the trap of saying this is all about us working for our salvation. It's not that at all. James is not that at all. James is really concerned about the genuineness of our faith. That if our faith is strong and if we're deeply rooted in Christ, then we will see these outworkings of our faith. It's not the other way around. The second thing that James does is it asks us, it compels us, it forces us to examine our faith. It leaves no room for us not to be able to look back at ourselves and say, where is my faith? How strong is my faith? Where am I placing my faith? And so it's a great book. And like I said, I think it's a book in season for us now at this time, so that we can be consecrated for God's work as we go deeper in faith with Jesus. So today, like I said, the title of the message is True Faith and Trials, and we're going to be reading from James chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. So let's read together. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered amongst the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish this work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Get to my notes. Of all the influences that could probably that can grow our faith, trials is probably the thing which is most influential in our walk and in deepening our faith. It's no accident, therefore, that James, in this epistle about faith and true faith and the testing of our faith, the examining of our faith, really starts the book with this theme, trials. And so it's a really important concept for us to grasp. It's really important for our faith to grow, that we understand that trials are there for us to grow in our faith. He also starts the book writing to a congregation or to the people of the Jewish Christian community who were undergoing severe persecution and trial at the time. And so it says at the very beginning of the book, to the 12 tribes scattered amongst the nations. The early Christian church were going through diabolical persecution. This wasn't written much after the time of Stephen's martyrdom, stoning. And so they were scattered throughout all sorts of regions and were facing huge persecution from various sectors of the Jewish nation and abroad. And so we might not be able to relate to that fully in our own context, and that maybe we're not being persecuted to that degree. But certainly there are Christians in the world who are facing that today. But the book is nonetheless relevant to us because every day we are facing other types of trials and various types of trials, and the Bible says that we will face trials. I mean, as I look around this room, I know of some people are going through really hard times at the moment, and some people who have gone through really, really hard times in their lives. And so what do we know? We know that trials will come. Trials will be there, and we will need to be ready for that. We need to know that they will be there. But trials are also integral to the growing of our faith. So in Peter 1:7 it says, these, and it's talking about trials, have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We know that God works together all things for good for those who love him, all things. And so our God can even use trials and will use trials to get us to a place where we are closer with him and deeper in faith. And this is a little illustration is this diamond. It's a diamond, it's a real diamond, eh? 24K. Just found it in my backyard. No. If this was a diamond, it would be pretty cool. But it's not a diamond, but it looks like a diamond. And we know that precious stones, I think it's a stone of some sort. Anyway, what is it? Anyone know? Clear crystal. And so we know that precious stones have to go through immense pressure and heat in order to be forged into something beautiful. And it's really like that with our faith as well, is that we will become something beautiful through the pressures and trials which we face. And I want us to keep that in the back of our minds as we go through this concept of trials, that God will not leave us like we were before. If we can stay faithful through trial, we will become something beautiful for him. Let's try and get back to my notes. And so there are three things that I just want to focus on in James and bring our attention to. What's important here is that, as I said, trials will come, and in the time of trial, God will help us, and He will bring us into a beautiful space. The three things I want to focus on out of the scriptures is that true faith in trials, and they're just three points. Trust in who God is in times of trial. And we look at verse 2. A trust in what God is doing in times of trial. And true faith in trial responds in those times of trials to God. It makes an active response. There's an active response to God in those. And so those are our three main points for today, what I want to go over with you today. So let's go back to verse 2. And it says there, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, for some of us here, I mean, we must be thinking, what was James thinking? How can we consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds? Pure joy, is he serious? Is he nuts? We know that we don't always feel joy. And so James actually he's not saying to us, you must feel joyful when you're going through a hard time. That's not what he's saying at all. We know that grief is a real emotion and for us, and that in the Bible, the biblical scripture says that we can grieve and we should grieve. There are times for sorrow and there are times for weeping. But we are told to count it as joy whenever we face trials. The key here is in the word consider or count. And to consider or count, and Pam, you can maybe go to the next slide. To consider or count is to consider means to think, count, or regard something based on the weighting and comparing of facts. The weighting or comparing of facts. And so what James is really saying is that we can consider it joy because when we think about it, when we weigh up the facts and when we're looking at God and we're looking at the God that we serve, we know that our God is bigger than any of our troubles. When we weigh up the evidence and when we look at God and we look back at the testimonies which we've had in our lives, the experiences that we've had with God and what the Bible says and promises, we can look past our trials and we can look to God and we can say, our trials don't compare to our God. Our trials don't compare to our God. The size of my God is much greater than the size of my troubles. We need to count it as joy because we are weighing up the evidence and we're saying, Satan, your evidence doesn't stand against the size of my God. And the trials that I'll face are not big enough to sway me from my faith. My faith is in a big God, a great God, and I'll be unswerving because of that. So, how are you considering your trials today? Where are your trials in your viewpoint? Are you looking at your trials or are you looking beyond your trials? I love this psalm, Psalm 121. Thanks, Pam. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Isn't that beautiful, hey? That's the God we serve, hey? He's not slumbering. He's not sleeping on the job. No, He's looking over us. That's who we serve. And we can securely look past, faithfully look past our troubles to God. My second point comes from the next batch of verses, verse 3 and 4. Trusting in what God is doing. In trials, true faith, trust in what God is doing in that time. So we said point one was true faith was trusting in who God is. The second point is trusting in what God is doing at that time. Verse 3 says, because you know that the testing of your faith, so you count it all as joy, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, true faith understands that in a time of trial, in a time of hardship, God will use it, like I said, God will use that hardship, God will use that trials to bring us to a place of deeper faith and of victory. And He does that through perseverance, by developing in us perseverance. And another word for the word perseverance is steadfastness or endurance, patient endurance. And it's, if there's an analogy I could bring, it's a little bit like an athlete who's trying to train for a race. And we often say, and I'm involved with sports, we often say you must practice like you're going to play. Practice like you're going to be in the match. So what that means is to raise your intensity quite high, so that when, very high, so that when the match comes, you're actually ready for the match. And the match doesn't seem so hard because you've raced, you've practiced like you're going to race. And so trials, in a way, does something like that for us. When we face trials, it develops a spiritual steel in us. A steel that when the next trial comes, we're able to withstand that and endure. But here's the clincher, church. God could have said and stopped there and said, I'm going to develop in you this steeliness, this metal. So when trials come, you will face it. That's fantastic. But God doesn't want to stop there. God wants to use you. God wants to take you and not only develop perseverance, but He wants that perseverance to advance to something much, much more than that, much, much greater. He wants to bring in you a completeness, a wholeness in you, so that you are worthy of His use for His glory and for His kingdom. It doesn't stop with perseverance. It goes on to completeness and wholeness. That completeness and wholeness sometimes is referred to as a peace inside. You have a peace inside. You're spiritually mature about in your trial. And now you're an instrument that God can use. And I know that that's what God wants for this church. He wants us to develop perseverance in our trials so that we will be complete, lacking nothing. And when more trials come, we'll be instruments that He can use for His glory. And we'll be instruments that He can use for His glory. Amen, hey? Isn't that awesome? What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve, that He would want to use us. Praise God. My last point that I want to bring to you today is our faith response in trials. So true faith does not only trust in who God is, and true faith does not only trust in what God is doing, and that God is doing something big in our lives through trials. He's going to use us. He's going to bring us to a place of maturity. But true faith also should be a response to Him in faith in the time of trial. What do I mean by that? Let's read the next few verses. Perseverance must finish its work lacking nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Can you change the slide, please, Pam? Thanks. In the holidays, we went to Hugga Hugga on the Eastern Cape Coast. First time we've been there, beautiful place. And on about the second to last day, a mighty wind came through that place. It was something like 80 k's an hour. It was ridiculous. And we went for a walk the one day. Unfortunately, this is up on a hill, and you can't see the sea quite as well. Quite far back there. But the wind was blowing so hard that when we went for this walk, it was almost like you're going to get blown over. In fact, the gusts sometimes were so strong at some stages, you actually kind of did a lurch because it was blowing you off your feet. And as we looked over the sea, we could see the sea. And the sea was a mess. It doesn't look so bad from there. It looks like I could actually catch one or two of those waves. But actually, those are huge. And it was messy. It was terrible. The waves were just all over the place. They were smashing into each other, and as I hit the rocks, it was just white. It was that white foam was actually going up for a couple of hundred meters there. You can't see it there. It was a couple of hundred meters going back, just from the waves crashing onto the shore, and then this white foam going out and out and out to the sea. And the Bible describes us as waves of the sea when we ask and doubt the Lord, when you don't have a true faith in God, and when we doubt Him. Our lives are a mess. We're all over the place. We can't control our emotions. We can't control our anger. We can't control our temper. We can't control our downs and our ups. Have you experienced that? You're up and then you're down. You're all over the place emotionally. Frustrated. Angry. It's because we doubt the promises of God. We're like waves of the sea. And James is saying, we need to ask. Our faith response to Jesus in a time of trial is to ask. He's saying, ask me. If you'll just come and ask me, I'm going to answer you. But don't ask with doubting, because then I can't help you. Come to me. Church, I want to ask you, are you spending time in prayer? Because we're talking about being mature Christians. We're talking about being mature Christians. The true sign of a mature Christian is a praying Christian. The true sign of a church after the heart of God is a praying church. The strength of our church is actually whether we are prayers. If we have a prayer meeting, how many people are going to come to that prayer meeting? Because that'll be a sure sign of the strength of the faith of this church. And we need to be a praying church. And I want to challenge you. Are you praying? Are you spending time with God? And are you getting on your knees and praying? Because that's what we need to be. That's what faith calls us out to be. And if we pray in faith, God will answer us. His promise is there. He says He'll answer us. I want to put it in this context. Maybe you can go to the next slide, Pam. But another beautiful verse regarding this is, as we know, Philippians 4:6, very famous verse 4:6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Can God give us, imagine if we go to God and we pray to God by prayer and petition, but we think, God, I don't think He can do this. I actually don't believe He can. Do you think we're going to get peace from that? Are we going to be on a firm foundation? No, we're not. We're going to be like a wave of the sea washed all over the place. We can't expect God's peace if we're going to go to God and say, God, please will You, but I don't think You can. Peace will not guard our hearts and minds. We can't expect God's wisdom if we have doubt as well. And I also just want to frame one other thing. There's an awesome story in the Gospel. It's from Mark chapter 9. There's a man and his son is filled with an evil spirit. And the evil spirit is knocking him over. And he's getting injured. And he's mute. And I think you'll remember the story. The man takes his son to Jesus. And he asks Jesus to heal him. It's Mark chapter 9, 23, if you want to make a note. And he asks him to heal him. And Jesus says to him, to all who believe, I'll read it to you here quickly. Jesus says to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I love this. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Isn't that beautiful? He knew that his faith was weak, but he was still going to Jesus. He still trusted Jesus, and he trusted that Jesus would help him in his unbelief. And so it's not that you shouldn't have times of doubt. It's not that you should have a perfect faith. It's not that you should just have total victory in this. But we need to be able to come to Jesus and go on our knees and say, Lord, I don't know how You'll do it, but I'm trusting You. Please, Lord, I'm coming to You because I know in my own strength I can't do it. And so I'm giving it to You. Please, Lord. Does it make sense? Church, do you understand? Do you feel God's heart for us here? God wants to bless us. God wants to work through us. God has a plan for us. God has good things for us. He wants to bless us. So if we're unbelieving, we need just go to Him and pray. No unbelief. I want to finish with just a quick illustration. And it's just one other thing I want to bring to you. So, I don't know, I need somebody athletic here. Nick, you're very athletic. Huh? Come, buddy. You're the man. Have you seen this thing before? Oi. You're a cyclist, so you should be fine, buddy. Okay. This thing is a balance board. Okay, so being athletic, you should easily be able to cope with this. Okay, can you stand on that and balance? Come on, buddy. Staying pretty well, eh? There you go. Oh, nearly. Keep trying. Come on. So, yeah, he's getting it. Okay, he's getting it. Okay, he's there. Yeah, give him a round of applause. Look at that, eh? No, stay there. Not going anywhere. Okay, the idea is that he actually would be able to balance without me. There you go. Nick, can you look at me? All right. Okay, thanks, buddy. Shot. We're called to have a strong faith foundation. True faith, trust in who God is. That our God is bigger than our troubles. That our God is bigger than our hardships. True faith, trust in what God is doing in trials. That we're trusting, God, I know that I'm here, and I know it's tough, but I'm trusting, Lord, that you're going to develop this perseverance. So I'm going to hang on to you. And by hanging on to you, you're going to build this spiritual steel in me. And by hanging on and you building the spiritual steel in me, I'm going to be an instrument worthy of your calling. How cool is that? And true faith depends on us calling out to God. It depends on us acting in a response, getting on our knees and praying. That's what true faith in trials really is about. If you're on the balance board of life, and if you think, I don't know if I can do this, well, maybe I can, not too bad. There we go. But if you're on this thing, I'm just focusing on myself. I'm not focusing on God or anyone else. And as soon as troubles come, I'm going to fall off this thing. If this is my faith, I need a firm foundation in Jesus. I'm just standing on the rock, on Jesus the rock. Church, I didn't know whether to bring this up, and it was part of the emotion, what I was feeling, but in that hallway, there's a cupboard there. And in that cupboard are pictures and names of people who used to be in this church and are not in this church anymore. Some of them have moved for various reasons. Some of them have immigrated or moved to different cities. But a number of them have fallen away from Jesus. A number of them are no longer in fellowship. And for most of those people, they went through something hard. They went through a trial or a tribulation of something. And they've fallen away from where God is and where God wants them to be. And I know that I don't want that for me. And so I'm going to cling on to Jesus. And I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm holding on to you. And the thing about them was that they didn't run when those trials and tribulations came. And this is, I don't bring condemnation on anyone. I don't judge anyone, I promise you, because I've been there too. But the difference was they didn't run to Jesus in their time of trouble. They ran away from Jesus when they should have been running to him. And I don't want that for any of you. And I don't want that for me. And so my appeal to us is to really sink down in this book, which talks about true faith and which digs deep into Jesus. That when those trials come, that we will never let go of him. Some people might say, but Tony, you don't know what I've been through. I want to tell you something, that Jesus knows what you've been through. Jesus has been with you, and Jesus has gone through that and more for you. And so, it's not about me telling you what you should endure or shouldn't endure. But run to Jesus and he'll be your source of strength. I'm not going to name anyone, but I just want to honor some people. There's a lot of people who are here today who've gone through hectic trials. And I'm not going to name you. Some people also who are not here today, who've gone elsewhere, who've gone through hectic trials. And they've clung on to Jesus. Actually, just somebody who springs to mind now, because Harvey mentioned it, is Paul. Actually, and how beautiful is it that he's got his cum laude in theology? Praise the Lord, hey? And here's a man who's gone through a hard time, and he's clung on to Jesus. Praise be to God for that. And I know that God will use that, like I was saying, he's going to multiply to him gifts, he's going to use him as his instrument because of his faith. Bless you, church. I hope that this was a blessing to you, and that we can dig deeper into Jesus as we go forward. Should we close in prayer? Okay, awesome.